Let's open our Bibles, James chapter 5. We're getting to the final sections here in James chapter 5. Anyways, a little review from last week. Chris did a great job, I thought. Incredible. You know, he looked at James chapter 5, verse 13. Let's read that verse, shall we? James chapter 5, verse 13, it says, is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Got these two situations, and I love the way Chris talked about this. You come before God in any situation, in night of grief or day of joy, both in trouble and in happiness, that we need to focus on God and look to Him. Life is like that, isn't it? We have the up times and we have the down times. That is just part of what this life is all about. But God is faithful, and to focus on Him. The scripture that Chris mentioned too, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In all circumstances, the troubled times, the happy times. You know, Jesus understood suffering too, didn't he? And Chris talked about this. You know, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and you know, he asked the Father if he would take that cup away, because he knew what was coming. And what did God say? He said, no. And Jesus said, you know, not my will, but yours be done. And we're so glad that he did. I noticed where Chris turned it around too, that if you're troubled, also sing. And if you're happy, also pray. And I think that that's good. Come to God in all circumstances. So today, we carry on the next couple of verses, and James continues this whole theme of prayer, right? Let's read the next two verses. He says, is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. And if he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Verse 16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. We saw in verse 13, he says, are you in trouble? Then pray. If you're happy, then sing. And now he says in these verses, are you sick? Then ask for prayer. Pray, and then he goes on in verse 16, pray for one another. All these things are all part of this thing that we call prayer. He says, is any one of you sick? I don't know, maybe some of you are struggling with something today, you know. But the truth of the matter is that sickness is a part of this life. When did it start? When did it happen? Well, you go back to the Garden of Eden, right? And the fall brought, you know, brokenness. And it affects us, you know, sickness in all different kinds of ways. And we're not just talking about physical sickness. We're talking about, you know, emotional sickness. You know, psychological, all the different kinds of things, you know, that have affected our planet. But James is saying, is any one of you sick? And the word literally means to be weak, to be feeble, to be sick. If any one of you is sick, what do you do? What should you do? Oh, you run to the internet. You know, AI is going to tell you how to fix everything that you have wrong with you. Now, I don't think that's such a bad thing to go and try to get as much information as you can, but you can't always trust the information that you get. And half the time, you know, you're having some issue, you look it up, and you immediately think that you are just going to die tomorrow because of what you just read there. We go to the doctor. That's good too. These are all good. But James is saying, and I think he includes a lot of these things, he's saying pray. He said he should call the elders of the church to pray over him in the name of the Lord. He says, you know, we need to take some initiative. Well, we don't want to bother anybody. We don't want to bother the leaders of the church because, you know, and some of the times we're just too proud to ask for prayer. But James says to call, and it's in the imperative, you know, mood that it's imperative. You need to call and ask for prayer. Don't be afraid to ask for prayer. He says to call the elders of the church. Call the elders of the church to pray over him in the name of the Lord. Say, well, who are these elders? What are these elders anyways? What is that all about? You know, and again, we just teach the Bible. We try to go, you know, verse by verse and try to understand what the scriptures are teaching. We haven't talked about elders for a long time. The elders are basically mature spiritual leaders in the church. Is it just age? Well, sometimes it is. I mean, you don't find too many elders that are 15 years old. 15? But it's a maturity, it's a spiritual maturity, really, that happens, right? And in many cases, you look up the word and it talks about being advanced in life. It's a term of rank and service, and the term's interchangeable with the word overseers used in some translations. So it's a spiritual leader and in the church itself, and it's crucial, it's important. James is pointing this out to us here. What are the duties of elders, overseers? Number one, to teach and to preach. To teach the Word of God. Number two, to direct the affairs of the church. Somebody needs to do these things, right? 1 Timothy 5, verse 17 says this, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. So in this verse alone, you see those two things I just mentioned, directing the affairs of the church and preaching and teaching. I want you to turn ahead with me, 1 Peter chapter 5. It's only the next book, right? 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter talks about the elders as well, starting in verse 1, 1 Peter 5, 1. Peter says this, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. And he says, what are you supposed to do as an elder? He says, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. He talks about a lot of stuff in here, and these are important things to know if this is something. And Paul tells Timothy, you know, if you desire to be in a role of leadership, you should know what that entails. But notice he says it's something that you're willing to do, that you want to do. You're not forced to do it. You're not in it for the money. You're not lording it over. It's not a position that you're like lording over people like this hyper-spiritual authority, which, you know, happens in churches. But he says those people are entrusted to you and you're called to be an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, that's Jesus, you'll receive the crown of glory. kind of an important, kind of a serious role, and I, you know, I think we should take it seriously. Acts chapter 20, Paul was talking to the elders in Ephesus, and there's a whole section there, but I'm just going to put one verse on the screen because this shows you how serious this is. He says, keep watch over yourselves. He's talking to the elders. Watch your own life and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. But this next statement, he says, be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. That's how serious this is. This is not just a role. I'm going to be an elder and, you know, do all this stuff and have all this authority and do all. No, he says, you're watching over the sheep that belong to God, that he bought with his own blood, the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. That's pretty serious, don't you think? Very serious, very real. So James says, call for the elders. Well, you say, okay, well, what about here in our church? You know, what do we have elders here? Well, we do. We don't, you know, they don't walk around with little badges, right? I think in some churches you probably do, right? You have little badges and say who you are or whatever. We have elders here though that take care of these duties, teaching and preaching and directing the affairs of the church, being shepherds, watching over the flock as best as we possibly can, realizing how serious it is. Officially, it's Justin, Chris, Patrick, and myself. But there are others that also function that have been here a long time that have that same type of maturity and spiritual emphasis in their hearts and lives that also, you know, partake in these roles too. Why am I talking about all this? I just want, you know, it's not a one-person show. It's a group of people that watch over this church. And James is saying you need to call for those elders. These guys are available. We're available if you have a need. He says they're to call and to ask them to pray and to anoint with oil. Prayer, again, we're continuing this idea of prayer. Verse 13, he says basically to pray for yourself. Now here in these verses, he's saying to call for the elders, the leaders to come and pray for you and to anoint you with oil. Anoint you with oil. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? What's the oil got to do with anything? You know, we have oil here, and we've had it here for a long time. But I was thinking about this. We haven't done this for a long time. Why? I don't know. You just don't think of it or whatever, but we have oil here. Now, it's basically olive oil is what they were talking about back then, you know, and I think it kind of includes two different kind of aspects. Number one, olive oil was used medicinally. And it could help people in different things. You think of the Good Samaritan, right? When he helped that guy, what does it say? He poured oil into the wound and bandaged him up and took care of him. There's some medicinal purposes in the oil itself, but that's not all, right? I think it's a symbolic using of oil to kind of be symbolic of the Holy Spirit and the power of God, that we're looking to him for that. We see it in lots of different things. David talked about it, right, in Psalm 23, you anoint my head with oil. We see in the Old Testament where they would pour oil, you know, on the heads of those that they were anointing to be priests, right? What's the psalm talked about? Which psalm is that where he says, you know, the oil was running down over Aaron's beard and his head? And in Mark chapter 6, the apostles, Jesus sent the apostles out, and it said this. It says, they drove out many demons, and they anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. One of the things that they went out and did. So I kind of see this all as kind of coming together, that both of them are important, the medicinal side and also the spiritual side. James is saying, pray over these people. Anoint them with oil. Do what you can to do. Yes, we pray for people, but it's also good to go see the doctor, right? I don't particularly like to go to the doctor. Some of us won't go at all. I don't quite understand that because I still force myself to go. I don't want to go. But doctors know a few things. But God knows everything. And even, I'll say this, even in the field of medicine, God is still overall. God still provides the ability to learn. Deuteronomy chapter 8 says, you know, God gives the ability to actually work and make money to people. Well, God also gives this ability to learn and study the human body and how these things work. Where, you know, the stuff that we're learning today is amazing. You know, the way they took care of my father-in-law, you know, they have things that today that they didn't have when I had a heart attack 8 years ago or seven, whatever it was. It's eight. I did remember that. But they actually get in there into that vessel with a little Roto-Rooter thing and just drill that thing right out. Well, they didn't have that back then. This is stuff, and then they shocked it and broke it up, and it's just amazing what they can do now. And then they put these little stents in there and put one inside another and one, another inside those two and open it up so that the flow is there. We saw videos, literally, of before and after, like in real time. Not in the room, but afterwards. And it's just amazing what doctors can do now. I mean, it's just amazing. But you know what? God is still even over all that, you know. And James says, pray. Pray to the God. You know, that's where the healing comes from anyways, isn't it? The healing comes from God no matter what. You know, there was a guy who asked for prayer. And so they brought him up to the front of the church and they anointed him with oil. And he said, you know, he asked, can you pray for me for my hearing? And so they're laying their hands on them, they're praying. And when they were finished, one of them asked him, you know, how's your hearing? And he said, I don't know. It isn't until next week. Just seeing if you're listening, that's all. But we need prayer. We need prayer for all kinds of different things. You know, we have people up here that are available to pray for people every week. But I notice, and this isn't, maybe you don't have any needs. I find that hard to believe, but very few take advantage of the fact that someone can pray for you. I think we should take advantage of it. There are people, there are men, there are women. If you feel comfortable with a woman praying for you. This is what the Bible says we're supposed to do. If you want the elders to come and pray for you, just have to ask, and we will do it. He says, pray and anoint them in the name of the Lord. You know, another thing about words, I love studying words in the scripture as well, but this idea, name, it's kind of true today too, but But in the Bible, it was used for everything that the name covers, the authority, the interest, who the person is, what they've done, what they can do, who they are. We don't think about that much. We just use the name, you know, Rich. But when you think about it, you go, oh, Rich, bald, you know, old, yard sailor, that kind of thing. You know, this kind of stuff comes here because the name, you know, reflects who the person is, right? Well, James says, pray in the name of the Lord. And I looked up this word Lord in the Greek language, it's kurios, and it said this, he to whom a person belongs. I love that. Master, Lord, owner, sovereign. It's a title of honor. So James says, pray in the name of the Lord. Anoint them with oil, praying in the name of the Lord. But you're praying for someone and you're thinking about who this God is that you belong to. This master, this sovereign, and everything that he's able to do. Looking to him to heal, to help in whatever the situation is. Like I said, it's not just physical, mental, emotional. We have all kinds of problems in this life. But there's prayer that we can get if we ask. So many times we try to do it all alone. That's a one-person show there. But look what he says in verse 15. He says, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. He says, offer this prayer in faith. Well, you know, I don't know why you would pray if you didn't believe, but prayer is something that we're having faith in God, not faith in the oil or not faith in the fact of what I'm saying or what I'm doing, but faith in God that God can do something. 1 John chapter 5, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. This is faith. This is trusting that God is able to do it. Now, but in the very middle of that, it says, if we ask according to His will. So we need to keep that in mind as well. Is it guaranteed that you pray for somebody and they're going to immediately be healed, instantaneously be healed? Can it happen that way? Yes, it can. There, you know, of course there are, and I saw this in the commentaries as well, there are groups that say, well, you know, we don't really need to do this anymore because healing is no longer for today. What, God just turned off His power? When, you know, the Bible was finished or whatever, you know, they have all these arguments and things that they talk about it. But God is still the same. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we go to Him and we pray. And we ask the Lord to heal and to touch, you know. Ask the elders, ask one another. We're going to see that next week. We go and we pray for one another. You know, when we were in California, I was sending messages to these guys saying, you know what, this is what's happening. I need prayer. My father-in-law needs prayer. My brothers need prayer. And you know what? I believe that they prayed. And we saw the fruit of it. I believe that. I really do. But as I said, you know, this is all under the will and the purposes of God, you know. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says, I have a different plan. I read this morning in a little devotional talking about Jesus, you know, when Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Lazarus got sick, right? And so they call for Jesus, and Jesus said, okay, But it says that he waited 2 days. Before that, it says that he loved them. He loved them. And yet he waited 2 days. If he had gone, you know, and that's what the sister says, if you had gotten here in time, our brother wouldn't have died. But you see, God had a much bigger plan and a bigger purpose for that whole situation. He raised, in this particular case, he raised him from the dead, right? Paul the Apostle, it says that he had a thorn in the flesh. It was some kind of physical thing. Whatever it exactly was, we don't know for sure. He says he prayed 3 times. He asked God 3 times, God, heal me, heal me, heal me. And what did God say? First, he said no. And then he said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is enough for you. Paul used it. I'm reading in 2 Corinthians now here in my private reading, and it talks in chapter 1. What a powerful chapter. It talks about, you know, that we go through these things, these trials, these troubles, the pressure, and all these things that we might receive something from God, that we might be able to help somebody else with the comfort and the help that we have received. And then he talks later, he says, you know, we're going through this stuff. We were despairing even of life. We didn't know if we were even going to live. It was so bad. But he said, you helped us by your prayers. Read it sometime. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, you helped us by your prayers. I think you know, in this whole subject, I believe God heals. I believe God does incredible things. But sometimes what happens is we take these passages out of context and we make them say just one thing that we think it says. But you need to look at the Bible in all of its fullness, in its context, knowing that God is sovereign. If he is Lord, that means he's sovereign. He's master overall, and he can do what he wants to do. But the Word of God is telling us to pray and leave the results with Him, ultimately. I'll just mention that last little part there about sinning. You know, he says if he's sinned, he'll be forgiven. You know, is sickness from sin? Well, kind of it kind of is, in terms of how it came into the human race. But every particular sickness that you and I have isn't because we sinned, we did something wrong. Sometimes it is, though. You know, the guy in John chapter 9, they said, you know, did he sin? Is it his fault or his parents? Where, you know, who did it? Why, you know, we're going to blame somebody. Jesus said it wasn't any of that, but that the glory of God might be shown when he did this incredible, miraculous work. Jesus says he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness, and by his wounds you have been healed. Ultimately, even if we get healed in this life, we're still going to die. You know, Mary and Martha's brother, he still died. The ultimate healing is heaven. The ultimate healing is to be forgiven of all of our sin, because we have all sinned. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all need God's help to forgive us and open up this way into heaven. I say to people, are you ready for heaven? I said it to my parents. Are you ready for heaven? How do you get ready? There's only one way to be ready. It's not because you did such a good thing, you lived such a good life, you were so perfect. No, it's because you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the only way you're going to get in. That's the only way I'm going to get into heaven. By his wounds, I've been healed. That's the ultimate healing. So back to the here and now, I mean, there's so many kinds of healings that we can pray and ask for. As I mentioned, prayer for oneself, prayer from the leaders, prayer for one another, all kinds of prayer that's recommended, Matthew Henry pointed out. But back to what Chris said, come before God in any situation, both in trouble and happiness. Bring it all to Him. That's what we're called to do. So, I can say all that, you know, but ultimately, we need to ask for prayer. Take initiative. We're going to be here to pray for you. We have, the elders are here. If you want us to pray for you and anoint you with this oil here, we will do that for you. And we're going to be available always. If you find yourself in a hospital, you call, we'll come and see you and pray for you. But we can also pray for one another. Like I said, we're going to talk more about that next week. Prayer. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we look to you this morning. We come to you. We pray. We lift our hearts to you, Lord, in this very broken world that we live in, and it's full of all kinds of problems and troubles and trials. I just heard about our good friend Donna and Amira, and Amira has an aortic aneurysm, going to have surgery tomorrow. We pray for her right now, Lord, that you would touch her, that you would heal her, that you would get her through this surgery tomorrow as well, Lord. You have your hand upon her. But we have so many needs, Lord. We wake up some days, we can barely get out of bed because it's just overwhelming life. Some of us have physical ailments that are just more than we know how to deal with. Lord, we come, we bring them before you. But I pray that you'd raise up intercessors in our church, in our little fellowship, to pray for one another, to pray for those that are hurting, that need help. And we would see you do incredible, wonderful things, Lord. I know, Lord, that the ultimate healing is heaven, and that the cross made it all possible. I pray, Jesus, that each person in the room, each person hearing this message would know what will happen when they die and leave this planet. That because of trusting in Jesus as Savior, that you'll go to heaven and live with Him forever. You have to call. You have to ask. We thank you for this place. We thank you for all you've given to us. We thank you for this family, this body of Christ, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together and sing, shall we?